Good evening and welcome to the moment. Good evening and welcome to the moment of empowerment. This is your radio host, facilitator, Apostle Myrtle Johnson, and on the line with me on tonight is Prophet Sharice Washington. Prophet, are you on the line with me?
Yes, Apostle. Good evening and God bless you all. I am here.
Good evening. I am so excited about what the Lord is going to release on tonight. We thank you for being with us once again as we come to conquer the kingdom of darkness with the word of God. Amen. We're going to go ahead and dive on into what the Lord has given you to share unto his people on tonight. We always want to open the line up with prayer. We just want God to just have his way on tonight. We are anticipating an awesome release from the Lord, hallelujah, into the airwaves on this evening. We know that God is going to speak mightily to the hearts and to the minds of his people, and I am truly excited about what God is doing in this atmosphere. Hallelujah. So, Father God, we just invite you into this radio show on this evening, God. Have your way, Lord God. We ask you now, Lord God, to tear down strongholds on this evening with your word, God. We position us now to receive from your spirit, God, that in which you have given unto the prophet of God. Use her mightily for your glory, God. Give her supernatural boldness as she proclaim your word on this evening, Father God. And we decree even by airways that lives will be transformed, souls will be delivered, and people will be healed through the power of the word of God. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen and glory to God. Prophet, you're now on
Amen.
The air. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Greetings to you, Apostle. It's always always good when I can fellowship with you, and greetings to all of my brothers and sisters that is on the line. God has given me a powerful word tonight, and I believe I believe that the people that are on this line need this word. I believe that if the people that are listening to this word, if they do what God is instructing for them to do in this hour, I believe that they're going to see major deliverance and breakthrough in their life. I'm believing God
Amen.
For breakthrough
Amen.
and release tonight into the people of God's lives. So let us just go forward and let us just go right into the word of God. The word is going to be coming out of Job. It is a familiar text. It is a familiar text. But sometimes the things that we have heard, sometimes when God uses them, sometimes it even brings a different revelation. And when it's used at that time, at that appointed time, it could be powerful in the lives of the people of God. So I'm just going to go right into Job 42. I'm going to be reading some verses from Job 42, and I want to get I want us to get an understanding tonight of what God is trying to say to the ears of the people of God. And God is talking about forgiveness. He's talking about forgiveness tonight. And so
Amen.
Let me just go ahead and I'm going to read verse 1, and it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no fault can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." And I just want to stop right there, and I just want to say that oftentimes we don't know God the way we think we do. We have a bad perception of God. We have things in our mind that are God and the way God operates, the way God behaves, and who God is that are false. We have things in our mind, and we have perceived things about God, and it's really not really who God is. And then he goes on
He says,
"Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen." And basically what Job was saying is, I've heard about it, you know, and stuff, but now I'm seeing. I see for myself who you really are, God. And so it says, "Wherefore I harbor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And what we have to understand, here we have God dealing with Job about his belief in the things that he has said and about what's going on in his life. Many times we speak things and have the wrong perception about God and who he is because of things we've experienced with people or just because we really don't know who God is in that way. We don't really know him the way we think we do. We begin to look at God through hurt and pain and not understanding that God loves us with everlasting love. And he's always looking out for our best interests. And so Job understood the suffering the suffering of the righteous, but Job did not understand why the suffering for the righteous, that God was not punishing him, but it was refinement. God is, you know, when we suffer, the righteous suffer, it's to refine our righteousness. It's to purify us. It's not preparation for destruction, but it's protection from destruction. And so Job did not understand. He did not get the revelation of why the suffering was going for. And so he cursed. He said, "I cursed the day that I was born." And so because he thought God was punishing him, he didn't really understand the revelation of, you know, the suffering. He thought that God didn't love him. And so many times we go through things and God puts us in situations and we begin to believe and we begin to get a orphan spirit or a rejection or rejection or feel like God doesn't love us. You know, we're in this situation and we're saying to ourselves, where is God now? Why is God doing this to me? And we have to understand that if we really know God, we know that God would never do anything to hurt us or harm us, but he's always looking out for our best interests. He knows the beginning from the end, and he's always doing something to make us better. And so what happens, we have to be careful about speaking what is God and what is not God, because we can find ourselves fighting against God. We find ourselves fighting against the will of God and the purpose of God and the move of God. Job repented because he realized that he had heard about God, but he had really never experienced God. And so in verse 7, it says, And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job. Now remember, Job repented because he realized that he had a bad perception of God. He realized that, you know, Job had experienced God and being blessed. And Job had experienced God in his goodness, but Job had never experienced the Father side of God, the sovereign side of God. He had never experienced him that way, and so he began to think that it wasn't God. And it says in verse 7, it says, "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these things unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz and Temanite, My wrath is kept against thee. And against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has." And so what we have to understand is because Job repented and he realized he had the revelation of who God was, in the sense that he knew he didn't curse God. And so one thing in verses 7 and 8, God begins to deal with Job's friends, because they were running their mouth about Job, and they were lying on God. He was really upset because they were lying on him. They believed that the reason that Job was suffering is because Job was in sin, but God said Job was a perfect man. He said God said in the beginning of the book of Job, he said Job was a perfect and upright man. So God is telling them that his wrath is kindled against them. Why? For speaking bad and speaking falsely of God. Speaking falsely of God, saying that God, like, you know, they were speaking in a sense that God, if God says that Job is a perfect man and God is punishing them, then they were really lying on God or calling God a lie in a sense. And so they were speaking bad against Job as well. And so we have to be ever so careful that we don't speak bad about God's chosen when they're in their process. See, what some people fail to realize, Apostle, is if you don't know what's going on with God and what he's doing, it's best to just keep your mouth closed, because God's wrath will come upon you and be kindled against you when you begin to speak things that you know not of. He told them that he was mad at them. God was mad. He said, "My anger is kindled against you, my wrath." They couldn't discern the move of God and what God was doing in Job's life. And so they what they did is they angered God because they began to speak about those things and speak evil against the servant of God. Some people have spoken evil about or you, just the people on the line. Some people have spoken evil about you in your process because you were obeying God, because God was doing something in your life, but they couldn't see it. They talked about it. You know, why is she going through this? Why is he broke? Or why is he homeless? Or why is he why is his life falling apart? Why is his marriage? Why is he going through it? Why they don't have this and why they don't have that? Not knowing that God was setting you up for the greatest comeback of your life. Not knowing that what was happening was literally a move of God in your life. And so people begin to speak those things that they know not of. And he allowed people to see you struggle, but while you still obeyed him. He allowed them to see you broke and busted. He allowed them to see you go through while you still obeyed him. He allowed them to see you lose everything publicly so he could bless you publicly. While they were treating you and mistreating you and mishandling you, God was elevating you and promoting you. While they were laughing and mocking you, God was increasing and magnifying you. And while they were laughing and sabotaging you, God was anointing and appointing you. See, people don't understand God. A lot of times we have a misperception of God, and those who don't know God, they don't know the move of God. Because why? They don't know who God is. So they couldn't discern the move of God in Job's life. They couldn't discern the move of God, and so they began to speak the wrong things. God has caused you to even stand in the midst of adversity. A lot of things that you went through, I mean, if God wasn't with us or God wasn't for you, you would have died. A lot of things that you went through, a lot of people couldn't even go through it and still be sane, still yet be standing, still yet have a praise. You know, he calls you to stand in the midst of adversity, in the midst of the witches and the warlocks and the Jezebels, the Ahabs and the Pythons and Absaloms and plots, schemes and plans and curses, secret meetings, and, you know, just to show people that, you know, greater is he that's in you, and to show you, show us, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So he causes us to stand in the middle of adversity. I remember, Lord God, Apostle, I remember when I was going through my process, I remember a pastor telling me that he doesn't believe that people should ask people in the at a church for nothing if they just join the church and don't tithe. I mean, really, it really grieved my spirit because I'm saying to myself that there are so many people that are trying to get members that they forget about the need of the people. God is grieved in this hour about pastors and people who care more about buildings than people's souls. I remember a pastor preaching for a whole hour on the subject of love, and then I asked him after service to help me with food, and he told me, I can't do nothing for you, and the church had food. You know, God allowed you to go through some things to let you see that he is all that you need. Let you see who was really for you and who wasn't for you. Let you see the true heart of people that you thought that was for you. He allowed you to go through some things to refine you and to get some things out of you. That's what he did. You know, they mocked. That's what happened to Jesus. They mocked him. They laughed at him. You know, they lied on him, they spit on him, they rejected him, they abandoned him while he was on his way to destiny. And so while we're on our way to destiny, how many people know that they will do the same thing for us? You know, the Bible says if any man, Jesus said, if any man wish to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and also follow him. And so we have to deny ourselves. Right. When we're going through the process, that's what we're doing. We're taking up our cross and we're following Jesus. And the same thing that happened to him is going to happen to us. So we have a cross to bear. And so we have to realize that we have to go through. We have to go through the process. And God does allow things to happen to us. So that we can be wise, so that we can understand, so that we can grow, and he can push us into destiny. And so just like Judas, you know, Judas thought he was betraying Jesus, but what he was doing, he was just pushing Jesus into destiny. Okay, and so that's
My Lord.
All right, that's what our enemies do when we're going through and they're mocking us and they're talking about us and they're lying on us. They're pushing us closer and closer to destiny. You know, a lot of people lost their homes, they lost their cars, friends left, jobs gone, but God didn't allow you to lose your mind. He preserved you. He kept you. Even in the process, he provided for you. But I hear the Lord saying it's resurrection time, my God.
Hallelujah.
I hear the Lord saying it's resurrection time. It's time to come forth, says the Lord, with power and glory. You waited, you obeyed, you prayed, and you went through. Some of the main ones that mishandled you, I mean, I'm telling you right now, the Lord said you reap what you sow. Some of the main ones that mishandled you better be on their knees repenting. They better be on their knees and they better repent. And I'm reminded of the story of Moses when he spoke evil against Moses and the lady and God turned her into a leopard. My God, the Holy Spirit reminded me of that verse. Some people that put their mouth on the chosen of God better be repenting right now, says the Lord. In verse 7, God told Job's friends, take the sacrifice lest I deal with you. You see, God was telling them, you know, either you do what I tell you to do or I'm going to deal with you. Either you repent, and that's what God is saying in this hour, either you repent or I'm going to deal with you.
And my Lord.
They were running their mouth, and they were talking about things that they didn't know. And some of the very ones that were running their mouth about you, I mean, they better be repenting. And that's just what it is, you know, because you have to understand that God looks out for his children. And you don't, and things that you don't understand, you know, it's best to keep quiet about. Now, this is the part, this is the message. If you didn't hear anything tonight, I need you to really listen, because this is what the Lord is saying in this hour to his people. This is the part of the message that God is saying. This is the part that's going to bring the deliverance. This is the part that's going to bring breakthrough. The Lord told Job's friends to offer a sacrifice up, and they did. Now, a lot of people are going to repent. A lot of people that did stuff and said stuff to you, God is going to cause them to repent. And when they do, God is going to forgive them. Because it says in verse 9, the Lord accepted Job. He accepted Job. So that means that he accepted the prayer. He accepted the prayer that Job prayed. And it says, therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks. This is verse 8 that I'm reading. 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job will pray for you. For him will I accept. See, what you have to understand is God said he was going to accept the prayers of Job. But if Job did not pray, God was not going to forgive them. He was not going to make it right with them. You have to understand that when we forgive people, we release them. And so God wants us to be in a position of forgiveness and obedience. And it says, for him I will accept, lest I deal with you after your folly. So basically what God was saying, you know, I need you to go make this sacrifice. I need you to repent. You know what I'm saying? And so I will tell my servant to pray for you unless I deal with you for running your mouth. He says, after your folly, your foolishness, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. And 9 says, so Eliphaz, I am so terrible with names. God, forgive me. I'll be calling those people all kind of stuff. Eliphaz and Temanite and Beladad and Shuhite and Zophar and Naamite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. And the Lord also accepted Job. And so what God is saying is that he accepted the prayer. He accepted a prayer of Job when he prayed. And so I'm telling you, for some of you that's on this line tonight, the instructions of the Lord is to repent and forgive and pray. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says,
My God.
The Bible says that Job repented. When God dealt with him, Job repented. And so some of us have to repent to God for unbelief in some things that we have said out of our mouth, not knowing God, not knowing when God was moving. Some of us need to repent for what we have said about God. And so God is requiring for us to forgive those. The very ones that came against you, that lied on you, that sabotaged you, cursed you, laughed at you and mocked you, tried to block you, stabbed you in your back, left you for dead. God is saying in this hour, I need you to forgive them. And not only do I need you to forgive them, but I need you to pray for them. Truly and sincerely, forgive them and pray for them. Because it says when Job's friends obeyed God, Job prayed for them. Then in verse 10, it goes on to say, and the Lord, hear this now, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his sins. Okay, and so I'm going to read that again. And it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. What you need to understand that your blessing is in your forgiveness tonight. Your
Hallelujah.
Blessing is in your obedience
yes.
tonight. Your blessing is in how quickly you obey God tonight and repent, pray, and forgive tonight. Hallelujah. God says forgive them, pray for them. And that's what we have to do. You know, also it says God gave Job twice as much as he had before. God's going to give you double. He's going to repay you more than what you even had before at your obedience. But you have to be obedient. You have to understand that God has a purpose. God has a plan. And everything that he does it by his own will. He doesn't answer to anyone,
yes.
and he doesn't have to answer to us. He doesn't have to tell us why he does things. Our job is to be obedient. And so what God is saying is tonight is I need you to repent, and I need you to forgive, and then I need you to pray. Because when you pray, I'm going to release that what you need. When you pray, I'm going to cause you to be blessed. I'm going to cause you to get that very thing that you have been waiting for, that you have been going through for. I'm going to cause your situation to turn around when you are obedient and you are in pray. So for some of you tonight, in order for you to move forward, some of you on this very line and on this very call right now, in order for you to move forward in the things of God, you're going to have to forgive your enemies. You're going to have to forgive those very people that were against you and pray. You know, the Bible says that Job's children was even blessed. In verse 12, it says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke and oxen and 1,000 she-ass. He had also 11 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first one Jemima, and the name of the second one Kizia, and the name of the third one Karapach. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brother. Don't you understand that God is saying when you obey what he says to do, not only are you going to be blessed, but your children is going to be blessed, and your grandchildren and their children, and you will have enough to leave an inheritance for your children? It says in all the land they couldn't even find anyone is blessed and look as good as Job's daughter. And it says, and after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. You see, what God
Hallelujah.
Is releasing in this hour is not a quick blessing, but God has positioned those who would be obedient. He has positioned us and set us up for provision for the future. He has positioned us to become a blessing to our family. He has positioned us to be distributors of wealth. And so those who will obey and that will repent, forgive, and pray, God says he's going to bless you. And he's just not going to bless you.
Hallelujah.
But your whole family is going to be blessed. He's not just going to bring you out of captivity, but he's bringing your sons out. He's bringing your daughters out. He's bringing your mama and your father out. He's bringing your aunts and aunties out. He's bringing your neighbors out. He's bringing your city out. He's going to bring your neighborhood out. He's going to bring your state out. He's not just going to bring you out, but you are going to be the one who brings out a generation, my God. And so this was the word of the Lord tonight. And I just pray that through this word that it really got into someone's spirit and they really, you know, it really got into your heart, it really got into your spirit, and it is going to cause you to obey God and move forward into destiny and purpose in this hour.
Amen. 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 Glory to God. Truly, it was an on-time word, prophet of God. It was truly a word that was much needed in this season to be released into the lives of the people of God. And upon taking heed to the word of the prophet, the Lord is saying that the blessings shall be released into your life. And you gave so many critical points that I'm just going to touch on. But I just bless God even for you allowing the Lord to just use you on this airline on tonight to just pour out into the people of God's spirit that they can become delivered. So many times when the people of God are going through their process, they hold on to unforgiveness. They hold on to the fact that people don't understand what God is doing in their life and through them. But even as you were speaking, I just hear God saying to really, really iterate that in spite of who can't see what God is doing in your life, that you need to remain faithful unto God and forgive them. Don't try to explain. So oftentimes people try to explain their process to their family. They try to explain their friends. And you gave the point that was so critical. You can't explain to somebody that don't know God what God is doing. To them, it's foolishness. So, you know, the Bible talks about that in Corinthians somewhere. It talks about how to an unbeliever, the things of God just does not make any sense. It's just the way that it is. Mm-mm. So in spite of them not being able to embrace what God is doing in your life and through you, you've got to be willing to go through your process. And upon you going through your process, forgive them. Forgive them for the foolish things that they say against what God is doing in your life. Forgive them. They'll never understand. And you said something that was so critical. You said you've got to be able to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Christ. And that is where we fall short. When everybody come against us, when people don't understand, then we begin to doubt God. Well, God, maybe it's not you. Maybe I am out of your will. And when we begin to do that, we have to stop and take a quick minute and repent, because everybody is not going to understand that process. Glory to God. Because the process is not for them, but it is for us. And upon us repenting from that, we've got to then forgive them. It is not always easy to forgive people that come against you. It's not easy to forgive people that are always talking about you going through your struggles and always, it's like they get an edge on the fact that you are struggling or the fact that you're going through this situation or you're going through that situation. But God is saying on tonight to forgive them. Because a part of your forgiving them is not only going to cause the release to manifest in your life, but it is also going to cause a release to manifest in their lives. And we've got to pray for them. We've got to pray for them. Pray for them. And as we pray for them, that is going to cause that release. And I bless God for this teaching on tonight. It ministered to my heart, my mind, my soul, and my spirit. And I know that deliverance is going to come into the lives of the people of God as they receive. If they can just embrace those 3 points, repent, forgive, and pray, God is saying that is going to cause the supernatural release of overflow in their life like never before. God did not just give back to Job what he had, but he gave him double. Actually, if you even dig into the scripture even further, it was more than double, because not only did God bless him, but he blessed everybody that was connected to him, the children, the grandchildren, those that were going to come.
Yes.
And that's what God will do when we walk in a place of obedience unto him. So God bless you, Prophet. Is there any last things, nuggets that you would like to share before you close us out on this evening? I just feel that God wants you to just pray a prayer of forgiveness on the line, even on tonight, before we close out. Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory. I just want to say that you just touched on a very serious and a very simple, but it's so powerful and profound point. You said, you know, they don't know what they're doing. And that's exactly what Jesus said when he was on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know that what they do. So we have to forgive. Jesus showed us the way. He showed us how to live and how to behave. And so we have to follow Jesus. If you are truly following Christ, then you need to be Christ-like. And we need to do and be Christ-minded and do the things that we have seen him do. And so, you know, forgive them. You know, forgive them. Forgiveness is not just for them, but it is for you. It is very, very vital in your healing and in your deliverance and in your process, your growth and your maturing. And so God needs to know, can he trust you? Can he trust you to be obedient? Can he trust you, to do his will, even when they're talking about you? Can he trust you to go forward and do what he's called you to do when they're mocking you and when they're spitting on you and when they're laughing at you and when nobody believes the word that he has given you but you? Can you go? Can you be obedient? Can you stand? And so God needs to know things. And as we repent, as you repent and as you go forward in obedience tonight, God is going to deliver you and he's going to heal you. And I just ask the Lord right now, those that are obedient to the voice of the prophet, I just ask you, Father God, to touch them in a mighty way. I ask you to release
now,
and restore in every area of their life tonight, Father God. Lord God, I ask you to bless them by their obedience, Father God. I ask you to do the miraculous in their life, Lord God, when they move forward and they move swiftly by obedience, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, to open heaven over their life, Lord God, to bless them abundantly, Lord God, to move them forward, Lord God. And, Lord God, do those things, Lord God, that will cause them, Lord God, to know who you are, to get a better understanding and a closer relationship with you. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that deliverance goes forth in the lives of your people tonight. I pray that the word, Lord God, got into someone's spirit, Lord God, and they will be delivered, Lord God. Any false mindsets and perceptions of you, I bind it up right now in the name of Jesus. And I loose the spirit of love and truth, because, God, you are love and you are truth, Lord God. So, Lord God, I just bind up any kind of abandoned spirits and rejection spirits and any kind of spirits of orphanage, Lord God. Those orphan spirits, Lord God, that begin to say, Lord God, do you really love me? And the answer is yes. Yes, you love us, Lord God, and you will always love us. And so, Father God, I just speak love. Love, Lord God, the perfect love of God is what
we
cast out all fear. So all fear is gone, Lord God, when we realize how much you love us. And so, Lord God, we thank you tonight. Lord God, I just speak a word, Lord God, of deliverance, and I speak that healing goes forth, and I speak that breakthrough and blessings go forth into the lives of your people and to the body of Christ. We love you, oh, Father God, and we thank you for what you're about to do tonight, and it is so. And thank you, Jesus.
It is
Hallelujah.
God bless you, Prophet. God bless you. Definitely a powerful and an awesome word, and it's my prayer that even after we leave off this line on tonight, that people will go back and listen to the message even over again and allow the word to just seep into their hearts, seep into their minds, and seep into their spirits. Encourage others to join us on Tuesday nights as we come together by way of Blog Talk Radio to just conquer the kingdom of darkness with the word of God. We're believing God to heal, deliver, and set you as well as your family members free in the name of Jesus. We decree it and we declare by way of airwaves that it is so, and it God shall establish it. We are officially, the line is officially closed for tonight. Everyone, do be blessed and join us next week. Actually, join us on Thursday night as we come together for It's Time to Pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Be blessed. Love you, Prophet.
Love you, Apostle.
Amen.
Amen.